2 Kings chapter 4. My plan is to be somewhat brief, to give us more time for prayer. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 29 is where we'll pick up. Verse number 29. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 says, Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for such a good group on this Wednesday night. I thank you for these folks that have purposed in their hearts to be faithful to the midweek service. And I pray you'd encourage us tonight by your word and through the ministry of prayer. Lord, please help us to understand the great importance of the prayer life, of the prayer ministry of a local church. And so, Lord, we commit this unto you. And we ask you to also bless in a very special way in our prayer time together following the message. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the context here, if you're not familiar with this biblical account that the Shunammite lady's son has died, the one that God had given her, even as a result of Elisha's ministry, and what a blessing that was. But now, even after that blessing, it's come upon that he is sick and dying, and has died. And we have a scene here where word has been sent to Elisha and his servant, Gehazi, and so now they're going with haste to this home where this boy is dead, and where this dear mother is in a frantic state wondering what in the world is going to happen. And you know that they're moving with great urgency, because Elisha says, "Look, don't even stop and talk to anybody," which would have been considered extremely rude. "You move, you don't talk to somebody, and even if they talk to you, don't even salute them, go." And he gave him a command. He gave him a rod. He gave him a rod, and he said, "You're going to put that rod on that child's face, and you're going to see." The point was, and the hope was, that you put that rod on the face, and that will bring life unto this child. But that's not what happened. And we're going to see what made the difference in this story. And you know, this child is going to be revived, resuscitated, if you will. And boy, we got some first responders in here. I've never personally had to do CPR on anyone. I've had CPR training. I feel like I have at least a pretty good idea of what would need to be done in case of emergency. I hope to God I never have to do it, but I realize that it can happen. I mean, you should never know when you're going to be in an emergency. I was up here at the barbecue, Red's barbecue place, just a few weeks ago, and Joanna and I were just sitting there having a meal together. We were in that screened-in porch part where you can sit, right up here between Jefferson and Commerce, and we were sitting there, and I just happened to glance up, and right about three booths from me, there was a man and his son that had come in. And they were eating. He was probably in his 50s, early to mid-50s. And when I looked over at him, he was purple. And he was grabbing his neck, and he was attempting to get a bone of some sort that had lodged in his throat. And I could tell it was bad. His son, who was about maybe 14, maybe 15 years old, sitting across from him, panicked and just sort of stood up. And he had his phone, and I think he was trying to call 911. Well, instincts kicked in on me, being, you know, in some emergency work in the Coast Guard. I ran over there, and this guy was bigger than me. I mean, he weighed probably at least 270, I would say, and he was sitting down. He didn't even attempt. He was panicking so bad, he did not even stand up. So I went over and leaned over, got behind the bench, and got behind him in the Heimlich maneuver, and squeezed as hard as I could. I'm afraid I hurt the guy, but it did come out. And I don't know if it was because of what I did. I may have scared him to death is what I did, because I hopped up and got over there. But thankfully, I didn't have to do any CPR. And the guy thanked me, and I made sure I gave him a gospel tract before he left. And he was thankful. His son was. And that was a wonderful barbecue sandwich experience. But thank God I didn't have to do CPR. I didn't have to revive the man. I just helped get a bone out of his throat, if that's truly what it was. But CPR, also known as cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And that's somewhat what was going on in this situation, but it was not CPR the way we think about it, my dear friends. It was some spiritual CPR. And I kind of changed, I kind of tweaked that acronym a little bit for a spiritual application. Instead of it being cardiopulmonary resuscitation, I tell you, spiritually speaking, what we see in this passage was some concentrated prayer revived. Some concentrated prayer that revived in this boy's life. And that's what I believe that God wants us to realize, that we need some revival in our life. And we're going to see this through this passage. Look, first of all, that we see the Shunammite woman. She was panicky, of course. We have the son that's died, and then we have this servant that's taken a rod. Now, there's a couple thoughts about this, why Elisha sent him ahead with a rod. Was it to teach him a lesson? Was it to teach this servant of his that perhaps he was discipling and training that, look, you can't just depend on me, and you surely can't just depend on a rod, and I'm going to teach you a lesson? That's a possibility. But it also could have very well been that Elisha was somewhat presuming that he could just send a rod ahead. And because, I mean, think about it, Elijah, back in 1 Kings, we see an account where Elijah would have demonstrated exactly how to do that. And it was by a rod. It was by the same way, going in and laying upon the lad and using prayer, the power of prayer, and the man's life. And so that's what the account we have right here. And I want us to just see just a simple truth here tonight, that folks, if we want to see true revival in our lives, if we want to see true spiritual revival in our families, our homes, if we want to see true revival in our church, it's going to take more than just the routine Christian life. It's going to take some extra effort. And it's going to take some extra effort in the ministry of prayer. And that's exactly what God is showing us in this verse. Because if you see here, the rod did not suffice. Now get this, the rod had the sight of power. It sort of represented authority, if you will. When you carried that rod, it sort of represented that, hey, I'm with Elisha, I'm with the big dog, okay? I'm with the big man. You know, everybody knows God answers his prayer. Everybody knows that God does miracles through him. Listen, I got this rod and I'm going forward. You know what? It carried the sight of power. But I want to tell you, it was not the source of power. And listen, church, we don't need to just have a sight of power. We don't need, and you know, how can you have the sight of power? Well, you can, and through your buildings and through programs and through things, different things and avenues, you can almost give the appearance of power, but totally be absent of it. And the Lord wants us to truly have it. And we see here that the rod was not enough. And I believe that God was teaching a lesson here, and whether Elisha was teaching it to Gehazi or not, it was a lesson learned by both of them. That look, the rod is not enough. The rod is not enough. It's going to have to be the power of prayer to change this boy into to bring life back to this young lad. It's going to be the power of prayer. It's not in a man or in an object, but prayer and faith in the power of God. And boy, what a difference it truly, truly made. And tonight, as we break up in prayer, I just want us to remember this, that the routine Christian life is not going to be enough. Even the routine, I guess, and I'm thankful you're here tonight. I wouldn't want you ever to think anything different. And I'm speaking about myself too. It's not just, we're not going to see the power of God about just walking in the routine Christian life. We get up. We have a quick devotion. We come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We do this, we do that. And we get in a routine. And you know what we're missing? The power of prayer. A true, consecrated, concentrated prayer life that will bring revival. And that was a lesson learned here in this situation. It was not there. The revival was not there. What does the Word of God say? Look there in your passage. It says here, when they there in verse 32, and he went up and lay up. Let me go back to 29. He goes through here in verse 30, and then verse number 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. This is verse 31. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Folks, there was no response. There was no reviving taking place. Something was wrong, man. We had the appearance of power. We got the rod, man. What in the world? What's not working? It's like those disciples of Jesus Christ that were wanting to cast out those demons. And they were like, Lord, we were preaching in Your name. We were praying in Your name. Well, we couldn't cast them out. And Jesus said, oh, listen, fellas. You're going to have to take it a step further. You're going to have some concentrated prayer if you want to see some true changes, if you want to see some revival. And folks, I'm burdened that as we go forth in these open doors that God has given us through the Good News Club and through the Grow Teams, that these ministries are powered by prayer. And that we go out with the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we don't need just manpower. We need power. We need men to be full of power, full of Holy Ghost power. And I'm afraid if anyone here is like me, many times we get through the routine and we expect God to give us His great power in these situations where we're facing some huge obstacles, where we got to see life, we got to see death come to life. Anybody facing anything out there like that in their life? They're looking at a situation that, boy, it looks like, man, there's no life going to be there. There's no hope there. It just looks dead. It'll come with a price. And that price will be a CPR, will be concentrated prayer that revives. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that You would help us to be able to perform some CPR tonight that will bring forth true Holy Spirit-led revival in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in our church. Oh God, would You bless as we go and pray. Father, help us to realize that it's not enough just to be here. But Lord, we need to get a hold of You. We need to focus. And may You be glorified, O God, as we do it. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.